Welcome to the framework and formula for writing meaningful IEPs. This is the third module where we're talking about selecting criteria. And in particular, we're on lesson two, what can you manage? This is all about the data that are actually gathered, documented, summarized, analyzed, and eventually interpreted. So what do we need to think about in terms of what can you manage? I often talk about when we think about writing criteria that there's sort of two questions you ask yourself simultaneously. The first we covered in module one, lesson one, what will convince me that the child or the student is making progress or there's a change in their performance over time? The second question is, what can we, or I, if you're a team of one, what can we manage in terms of data collection? And that will then go through all the data-driven decision-making steps, right? So what can we manage in terms of gathering, documenting, summarizing, analyzing, and interpreting? So there's both sides of that coin. What can we manage, but also what will convince me? So this lesson is all about what to do with the data. How are you going to be using the data will be covered in module three, lesson three, but we're really going to set ourselves up for success. So we want to think about what can we manage in terms of documenting and summarizing. So what do we think about in terms of documenting with numbers? What do we think about in terms of documenting with words? And what do we think about documenting with permanent products? So there's lots of different ways we can document a student or a child's performance over time, but we need to think about what can we manage in terms of actually recording or documenting what is observed. We also need to think about how do we summarize all of those data that we gathered and documented. So are we going to summarize again with numbers? Are we going to summarize with words? Are we going to summarize visually? When you kind of have a plan in place, the criteria sort of finds itself. And here later in this module and this lesson, I'll walk you through what I mean by when you've kind of thought through what it is will convince me and what can we manage in terms of data collection, that the criteria just sort of find you. But before we get into a practical example, let's remember what federal law in the United States remind us. So under IDEA of 2004, the reason we're even talking about progress monitoring or measurement or data in the first place is that we have an obligation to engage in sort of that data-driven decision-making. And federal law will use words like, are you doing something in an ongoing way? Are you systematically looking at a student or a child's performance over time? Are you making sure that those data that are collected are used to revise instructions so that you're sort of not waiting until the review of the IEP or the end of the year to say, oh, did you learn that? Did you make progress? But rather, you're systematically in checking to see, are you responding to the instruction? Are you making the desired change in performance? And then if not, why not? And how do we revise the instruction going forward? We might even need to revise the actual IEP goal that was written. And then do you have sufficient data? So there's this mixture between, well, what can I manage? Well, I can only manage collecting data once a month. Well, that's nice, but it won't be the other side of the coin of what will convince you the student is responding to your instruction, and do you need to make revisions? You're like, oh, well, I need data like minute by minute. Well, is that possible? Can you manage collecting data every minute of every day? So you see how these start to work in concert with each other. Certainly need it to be ongoing. Certainly need it to be used to revise instruction. And we certainly need sufficient amount of data to then make good decisions. So let's look at a real case example, if you will. And so we're going to look at some sample data collection forms, not the actual form itself, but how you would guide the construction of a data collection form if your outcome is cause and effect. And this is a handout that's available in Module 3, Lesson 2. So if we think about it, we need to take a minute, make sure we're all clear about what the it is, what's our what, right? And this is cause and effect. So you can take a minute, kind of read what it means to engage in cause and effect, which is this taking an action to make something happen. And what's really interesting is that we can talk about taking an action on objects to make something happen, but we can also talk about taking an action that is an interaction with others. So it's a very social cause and effect. And thirdly, we can take a communicative action, which could be verbal or nonverbal, that makes something happen. So you'll want to spend a little bit of time, and if you need to pause the recording, go for that now. Make sure you've got the handout in front of you that is all about how to collect data when you're measuring a child or student's performance over time with regard to cause and effect. And always, 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 you got to be clear about what's your what. And if you're writing meaningful IEPs that are measurable and functional, you should have something that looks an awful lot like what you see here in terms of a clearly defined behavior. But you need to be careful. Do I want an action by the child that's on an object? Do I want something that is social, emotional, and interactive? Or do I want a communicative exchange? Then your next question is, what would be the criteria and how often would I collect the data and what would my data collection form look like, right? All those questions come to mind. So what I've done is I've talked about those dimensions of behavior. And if you haven't yet examined Module 3, Lesson 1, which is all about the dimensions of behavior, these different types of criteria, what will convince you that the child is making the desired progress or performance over time. So just a few of them here that I've outlined is that you care about frequency, or you care about latency, or you care about endurance, or just a slight variation, you care about variety and use. And we'll get more into use as we get, or if you've already explored Module 3, Lesson 3. So the way this handout works, I won't read it to you, but I'll just kind of show you how it works. So again, you want to start with what's my what? That's the behavior. And you have kind of three broad options: taking an action, this cause and effect idea with objects, interactions, and communicative exchanges. Then you have a dimensions of behavior, or what you care about, what you actually want to monitor the measurement of over time. So we're going to think about what's manageable and what will convince you now at the same time. So if you care about frequency, you can read the comments about how, for example, you'd make a list of the many cause and effect objects that the child will have an interaction with or an opportunity to interact with on a day-to-day basis. So you make a big list. And then in this instance, the list doesn't have to be super extensive, because you're not really caring that there's a wide variety. You might just want the child to do one object that they have a cause and effect with, but you want to do it often. And then you're just going to use check marks or counts and tallies to note how many times the child interacts or acts upon the object to make something happen. And so you can see that by knowing frequency, knowing which materials, and knowing that I want to really do a count and tally, you can start to think, what is manageable? Can I look each time the child is with that object? Is that possible? Can I plan when the object will be made available so I'm ready to collect the data? Can I sprinkle the object around the classroom so that I can capture multiple times throughout the daily routine? And you can walk through the handout thinking about, well, maybe I care about latency, or maybe I care about endurance. And it'll talk to you a little bit about what your data collection form will look like. That's what's going to allow you to manage the actual documentation of the child or the student's performance over time. Again, as long as you're clear about what's your what. And then in Module 3, Lesson 3, we'll talk about more about the idea of use. Really what matters is that the child or the student gains a skill that they can use in day-to-day activities.